And he told in the law inspired by the Lord, tell the people that I have lived a lifetime among you. The lifetime is 40 years. The law give us something that we have to digest rationally in part, and the rest of it by faith.
That's why I say we can't do this completely.
See that course and that 40?
They're the same. They're the same.
Jesus picked up the cross, and he told other people, pick up my cross.
You know what he said?
To pick up my cross. So that tells us that Jesus had a cross. And that cross must have been good. And then the world, according to the Bible, according to the gospel, we know it's a sign. But according to the gospel, the world crucified him on a cross. Is that not right? Now, so there's a good cross and a bad cross. A good cross and a bad cross. All right, and I'm telling you now that the 40 and the cross are the same. So what are we talking about? We are talking about the behavioral nature that Allah put in man. The behavioral nature that Allah has given you, your inborn, natural behavioral nature. All right. So, Prophet Muhammad, without inspiration, Prophet Muhammad, without revelation, he had kept his cross intact. His cross was good. His cross has stood up. Jesus, if you don't know this, I'm telling you right now. Jesus on the cross means the cross. Jesus himself is the cross. So they put the man as a cross and put him on a cross. But actually the true cross is the man. He's the true cross. The false cross is the cross behind him, the one he was nailed to. And the false cross is made of wood. It's made of a tree. And the Bible says, cursed be he that hangs in the tree. Isn't that not the Bible? Yes. So what is the tree? The tree is the culture. The tree is the culture. There's religion, there's the Word of God. The Word of God brings light and understanding. And then the people form customs after the teachings of God. And in time you have customs, or what we call culture. After the teachings of God. Christian culture is a cross. Christian culture crucifies believers. Is that not the truth? Yes. But what it has connection with? What, does Christian culture educate? Christian culture manipulates behavior. What behavior? The 40 that God gave. 40 symbolically. How come it's 40? God says, and he had gave every creature his need in 4 periods. And when those 40 symptoms come into your conscience, you multiply them by 10, it's 40. Yeah. So you see, they put him on a cross, but actually he is a cross. He is a cross. Balanced man. Balanced man. Proportionate man. See, the old artist who used to stretch the man out, and they put his hands and span his feet in his hands, and they show that he's balanced, he's a balanced figure. Right? His arms and his legs, they all go out in the balance, and he can touch the circle. Put him in the center, and his legs and his hands touch the circle in his head, right? Yes. So you see, so it's typical of the balance that our God has made in man. And we know what extending the hands means. Extending the hand means helping humanity. Extending the hand, helping humanity. His hands go out in both directions to the fullest. On one side, you got the uneducated people. His hand goes out to them. On the other side, you got the establishment, the ruler. His hand goes out to them. One hand goes out, another hand goes out, and desire to help both are just as God. Some liberators, they have a compassion for the oppressed, but they forget that the rulers are also oppressed. Their ignorance have oppressed them. Their sins have oppressed them. So both are oppressed. Those who are on the top and those who are on the bottom, they both are oppressed. And they both deserve a chance. Right? Yes. But here's another thing. Those who can call the left may not be able to call the right. To call the left, all you need is a preacher. To call the right, you need an educator. They have to send the charity out the boat. How you want us for that? How you want us for that? Yes. See, on this side, they need cultivated. On this side, they need educated. Praise be to Allah. You don't forget when you're making this land, you're reciting the words of Quran. That's the highest wisdom. Oh, yes, that's the education. Praise be to Allah. All right, so we're still talking about the liberator here. Now, Prophet Muhammad, I'm telling you, with the authority of Quran, with insight into Quran. Nobody told me this. The Quran tells me this, and that's the best of all. I'm telling you, from my study of Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, the life of Prophet Muhammad, that the 40 years that he said, I have lived a lifetime among you, he was telling them that I have fulfilled the sign in Jesus. What is the sign in Jesus? That this life comes without teachers, comes without prophethood. How do we know? Because Jesus spoke while he was in the cradle. He wasn't a prophet yet. According to the gospel, he became prophet when he was a man and the dog looked down upon his shoulder. That was a sign that he was the God's prophet, that the mission had come to him. Is that not so? Yes. But when he was a baby, he already predicted he would be the one, all right, but it hadn't come to him yet. But the Quran says he spoke even while he was in the cradle. And the Bible says as a young man, he went into the synagogue and he spoke and he just astounded the people. His knowledge was so great, his insight so great, that he just amazed the teachers in the synagogue. But was he a prophet yet? No. Not according to the God, according to the book, he was not a prophet yet. How did he get this great insight? Because of his nature. The nature was right. The spirit was right. The influence was right. He was born of Mary. His environmental influence was good and right and perfect. And he had been grown up, he had developed out of that perfect environment. So his behavior was right. His heart was right. His appetite was right. His feelings were right. So he lived the highest life of all of being. And Prophet Muhammad, Allah said, and we have seen him. That he is on the highest plane of moral excellence. This is before he became the prophet. And we have beheld him. We beheld him on the highest plane of moral excellence. And that's what the history tells us. That Prophet Muhammad, though he lived without all that ignorance and corruption, he never became a victim of it. He was always a man of high morals. They called him El Amin, the honest and trustworthy one. Even before he was prophet, before he was prophet, that's what they called it. He was not vulgar, he was not decent, he was not unjust. And when he went to the mountain to seek seclusion away from the people, hoping that he would find some way there, meditate and find some way to just correct the problem. What was moving him? What was the urge that was driving him in the mind? It was the burden of the people. History tells us that Prophet Muhammad was so burdened because of the ignorance and sins and human abuses that were going on in the world that he took refuge from that kind of situation into the mountains. And there he sat in solitude and cried out, poured out his heart to God. Not knowing where to look find God. He was just wondering in his eyes and in his mouth, God, oh God, where are you at? Yes. Now understand another thing. That in Jesus' life, before he became a prophet, which he didn't become a prophet as a prophet Muhammad, a different kind of prophet. He became a different kind of prophet. But in his life, before he became a prophet, there are signs to tell us something. So he was born in a manger. And he was born among animals. Right? So what does that tell you? That his birth was natural behavior. The animal is natural behavior. I don't think I need to say much more. Yes. And from Muhammad, who had taught him? Nobody. How come his behavior was so good? Natural behavior. So Allah is telling us that even among the worst conditions, natural behavior can triumph. And you can have the excellence of behavior, even in a bad situation. Now, we know Jesus was favored with a good situation, wasn't he? But his mother wasn't. Obviously, his mother wasn't, because she had they wouldn't even receive her in the nice hotel. According to the Bible. See, the inns were closed against her, and she had to have her baby in an animal stall, a manger. Is that not right? So what is that telling us? That's telling us that the poor man is. The world rejects us, they look down on us, they don't consider us fit to come in their society. So they exclude us from their society. So we don't have a chance to benefit from the environmental conditions that they benefit from. The learning environment, the moral, the high moral environment. We don't have a chance to benefit from that. And if we want to raise our children, we are not favored with that kind of situation. Our children have to be raised up among in the worst circumstances, among the worst people in the worst circumstances. But the Mary, she was married, the Blessed Mary, she was a perfect good woman, pure woman. And even in those circumstances, she wasn't affected. Right? She wasn't affected. She was still devoted to God, loyal and devoted to God. So her child, because of her influence, comes out like her. Right? Comes out like her. But now when he comes out from her, where he finds himself? Among thieves and robbers, cutthroats, wild-haired drunkards. Right? Yeah, you see, so Jesus was only in such an environment as long as he was with his mother. So when he was born, she delivered me to out from the mother. When he was born, where did they find him? In a manger, an animal. See, look, here is the environment. Here is the situation that she has to raise her child in, where animals are. But if you understand the nativity, the picture of nativity, the animals that are there are harmless animals. Which tells us that the male influence was so strong that she had attracted harmless animals. Those bad business animals, they didn't care for Mary. Well, they're far away. They didn't want to live around Mary's house. They didn't find that Mary they liked. But all these nice animals were there on there. What does it mean? It means that the people had no education. Uh-huh. All these signs are pointing to the absence of education. They had no education. They had nothing to depend on but the nature God gave them. And because of them having the fear of God in them and sticking to the way of God, then God blessed that nature with inspiration, divine inspiration. And when it first comes, it doesn't come to Jesus directly, it comes to Mary. Isn't that right? Yeah. Says, and the Holy Ghost overpowered Mary. And she became pregnant with a child of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? All right. No intellect yet. Intellect is not part of the process of intellect, is not involved yet. This is the Spirit. And she became pregnant with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then that child come out with a will and desire, a spirit, to obey God. Come out among animals and grow up and confound the wise with his tongue. Where did you get that from? Who taught you? The flesh is right. The spirit has come into it. I see by the inspiration of God. Before he gets 40, according to scripture, they crucified him. He wasn't 40. What would have happened if he had lived to see 40? If he had lived to see 40, he would have died to Jesus and became Muhammad. But it wasn't meant for that to happen then. But nevertheless, he was a sign that it would happen. There's much to talk about this. This is a big subject. The hour that he was crucified is important. See, and they crucified him in the ninth hour. That's the hour we beat on our side. So they crucified him in the ninth hour. And in the 11th hour, he died. Right? Yes. They crucified him in the ninth hour, in the 11th hour, he died. Now, you don't mind me holding you up a little bit of that. All right. See? We need what the others got. And believe me, this is what they got that they didn't give up. Okay. So look here. Look at the words he mentioned. E-L-E. Right?
Yes, sir.
Being in. Right? Being in. Being in is something. Being in means what? Intellect. Intellect. Where's in the intellect? It's that simple word of that. What is, cognitive is. It's not knowledge. It's the urge in your intellect. It wants to know. It wants to know. So the last part of it is that refers to that urge in your intellect to know. You see? And the first part of it refers to high level. Crucifying him in the world. In other words, they make Jesus, the moral mission of Jesus, dead. But now he ain't dead. He's just dead in the world. In the ninth hour. Then comes the tenth hour. And he must have died in the tenth hour. Or maybe he didn't, we don't know. But I believe he died quite a bit in the tenth hour. Maybe he didn't die up, die out, pardon me. But I think he died quite a bit in the fifth hour, too. But we know for sure that he died according to the scripture, the gospel, the Christian report, in the 11th hour. So what is this talking about? The ninth hour is the world. The tenth hour is conscience. The 11th hour is reasoning, the ability to reason. The scholarly plane is the 11th hour, you see? That's the scholarly plane. So it says that in the 11th hour, he died. Means that, how did Jesus die? How come he had to die in there? He has to die there. Because he represents the spirit, the impulse. An impulse must die in order for logic to work. You can't figure out the logical order of things following the impulse. The impulse just takes you up to that door. Then you have to stop following the impulse. You have to follow the vein of logic. That's the 11th hour. Now, you know, the church begins in the 11th hour, doesn't it? Yeah. The church begins in the 11th hour. So that tells you that the church is supposed to be educated. But instead of educating, they just elevate. The real elevation is knowledge. Moses went up into the mountain for what? Knowledge. The wise man in Kenya, how do you tell what makes him up into the Kenya mountain? Wisdom, in search for wisdom. The sages of the Himalayas, how come they go up into the Himalayas? In search for wisdom. So we know going up means going to knowledge, going up for the wisdom, to get the wisdom, to get the insight, the keys, the logic. But Moses went up into the mountain and came back with the laws written on the tablets. Isn't that right? And those laws represent logic. They were the logic for a new era. Right? And Moses is called the teacher. Oh, yes. Okay, so when Jesus goes up, when he's crucified and he's put up, then he dies. So what is this symbolic of? This is symbolic of the history of Jesus' followers. Not Jesus. They didn't crucify Jesus. The history of Jesus' followers. See, when Jesus was gone, then what did they do? They tried to find Jesus. They tried to establish Jesus. They tried to establish what Jesus taught. And for trying to do that, they were persecuted in the world. And the world rejected them. They were not allowed to practice that in the government, in the society. They were not allowed to practice that in the society. So that means being killed in the world. In the ninth hour, they died. And they went up. They put him up on the cross. Putting him up on the cross. What do you mean putting him up on the cross? The cross then represents, I said, the behavior of nature, right? So they tried to crucify him, bind him to his behavior of nature. Now listen, please. Please listen. They tried to bind him to his behavior of nature. Why would you bind something to his behavior of nature? Why you want to do that? So that you'll never gain intellectual insight. So his behavior of nature is excellent. Let's make him the subject of his behavior of nature. Let's make him so attached to his behavior of nature that he wants no more than that. He just wants to be good. Let me tell you something. You have to stretch your imagination to see the depth of Satan. Our little mind can't see it. We can't even think to do things this devilish. We can't even think. Our imagination won't even stretch. It takes a scientific mind that is wicked to stretch to do such devilishness. So here is a man, a sign of the people. Now God sent a man into the world to liberate people, to bring them into moral freedom, And the process, that process is to bring them to the door of intellectual insight so that they will really gain that dignity on earth. And here the world plots against them, the wicked world, plot against them and try to contain them, bind them with the rope of their own excellence.
You have been listening to Imam Walid Dean Muhammad, leader of the largest organized Muslim community in North America, the American Muslim Mission. Join us today at 1 p.m. for our weekly Sunday meeting, and also on Friday at 1 p.m. for our Jummah or community prayer. Our masjid is located at 1860 Clarion Avenue in Evanston. Help keep our radio broadcast. Send your tax-deductible donations to Cincinnati Masjid Radio Broadcast, 1860 Clarion Avenue, Cincinnati. The American Muslim Mission is brought to you pre-recorded.
Of Imam Walid Dean Muhammad Sheikh, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Walid Dean Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani r-rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim.
That Jesus brought to be lived in the world, to become a community of social justice, have now been taken out of the world and restricted to spiritualism and moral purity. In other words, it has been confined in a system. Now, so that represents the death of Jesus. Now, that's according to the Bible, if I'm right now, and I am, not halfway, perfectly right. Now, but I say to you, if, because you don't know that, you just have to believe it. Some of you might have strong evidence. You might say, well, on basis of what I know, I believe, man, you know, you're right. Some of you, I'm sure, know enough to say, yes, well, the man is right. All right. But I say to you, that if I am right, and you know there's a strong chance that I'm right because nobody else talked to you this way. So, now, just say, you just going on a guess, on a maybe I'm right. If I'm right, look at the implications here. Look at the strong and mighty implications here. What I'm saying is that if I'm right, then Catholicism is the death of Christianity. Because it's in the 11th hour he died. And the Bible says they gave him vinegar and hyssop, and straightway he gave up the ghost. That's the Bible. So if I'm right then, Catholicism is the death of Jesus' teachers. They called it Christianity. Catholicism is the death of Jesus' teachers. And Protestantism came out of Catholicism. So then Protestantism must be an effort in death for life.
the strain in death to come to life. And with Protestantism, Christianity embraced the social aspirations, the social needs of man. Came back down to the little man. Is that not right? Out of Catholicism, Protestantism did that. With Martin Luther, what his name? Yeah. All right? So can't you see now how God has blessed you? God has blessed you now. The world don't have to, white folks now can't walk around you and look at you and say, oh, they're dead. They're ignorant. They don't know our world. They can't look at you now and say, oh, they're boys and girls. No, we're men and women like they are. And Allah has raised us up. And believe me, most of their own kind are just as ignorant as we were. They only have a few that know the knowledge. They keep it from the many. And they figure they know that none of our leaders have it. So since none of our leaders have it, then we don't have any men and women. All of us are boys and girls. Oh, I wish I had the time. I should stay with you until you go to sleep. And then we go to sleep together. We get up and eat. And we talk some more. We go to work. I say, what time do you get from work? It's 5 o'clock. I'll see you at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'm telling you the truth. That's what we should do. Yeah. And one day, maybe we'll do it. If not, if it's nothing for 40 days. Praise the Lord. Believe me, this is too precious. This is too precious. And Allah has blessed us with this. Not another people. He blessed us with this. So this is for us. Now, what should I die now and all this is gone? And you just have the little? No. We should be trying to get everything we possibly can while it's here. So we leave it to our children. So we'll never be fooled again as long as we obey God. Praise be to Allah. So we're talking about Abel here, the war upon ability. If you understand that much, believe me, you're wiser than most of the people around this whole earth. If you understand that much, that the people who manage the resources of the earth are those who war upon the ability of the common man. And your main fight is not the fight that you have. Your main fight is not racism. Your main fight is not a fight to get somebody in the Congress or to get a black president. That's not your main fight. Your main fight is the fight to defend your ability against those who war against your ability. And they use so many diverse tools in their war upon your ability. If you do nothing but distrust them and trust Allah and me and this Quran and Prophet Muhammad, that'll be your salvation. I'm telling you the truth, just putting it to you plainly. If you will do that much, that'll be your salvation. And let's now make use of our spare time and let's become educated so that we will become great foes, great soldiers. That is unbeatable soldiers in the way of God. Oh, yeah. That way we save it for all generations. Oh, yes. But I repeat it again. That if you do no more than just become distrustful, distrust this world. Don't trust the world. Trust Allah, the Quran, Muhammad, and myself. Why yourself, brother Imam? Well, this didn't happen out of the sky, man. I'm here. If I never happened, I'd say, well, not me, but I'm here. Praise be to Allah. Now, let's see what happens now. They take him off the cross. Right? They take him off the cross. And they put him in a cave that had never before been used, according to the gospel, according to the New Testament. Now, what is that? We want to tie it in with history. That's Calvinism. That's spiritualism. That's the average black church. I'm giving it to you plain as day. Can't tell you no better than I'm giving it to you. So they took him and they put him in a cave. Away from the light. And rolled a round stone to the mouth of the cave so no light could come in. And gave you rock and roll. Meaning that what's going to hold them in there is spiritualism. And if they ever want to come out, rock and roll will block the door. I'm giving it to you as plain as day. And then isn't that what they did? They helped the black ex-slaves in spiritualism. But as the world began to progress and we became learned, we started reading and writing and wanting to know what's happening, then they gave us rock and roll. See, a round song means a logic that can't stand up. Unless you hold it or pop it, it'll roll. So yeah, see, rock means logic. But if you make the logic into a spiritual state, then you've made it a spiritual logic. And spiritual logic won't build up society. It does nothing but give you free movement. You just roll, roll, roll. So then they gave us music. They said, oh yeah, okay, they threw with the spirit of the church now, so we have to capture them with the spirit of music. But they're showing that we are still the masters. We who designed the cave, we who put the round stone before the cave. Now, they don't want our church no more. We give them rock and roll. And look how they encouraged rock and roll, how it became so popular. First, they just wanted it for us. Then after a while, they said, oh, it'll work good on the white masses too. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it'll work good on the white masses too. They hold all the dumbbells. Give them all, let them all rock and roll. Yeah. See, you read signs in the scripture, but you don't know how to connect them with the present life, history, and the present condition. And this is the insight that makes you leader in the world. With this, you become their equal. And anyone who wants to see a test, I'll tell you, I'll show it to you. Take what I say back to the wisest person you know, in religion or in government. And if they don't show visible signs that they have seen a wonder, come back and tell me. I just give you the proof. That's the proof. You want to test what I got? That's the test. Take exactly what I say. Don't put it in your words. Take what I say exactly as I give it to you. Exactly as I give it to you. And go back and tell the wisest people you know. And if you don't see a visible sign in their faces that what you brought them was powerful, come back to me. And I want to go back with you. I know something you did wrong. Believe me, what I'm giving you, most of them don't have it. What I'm giving you, few of the wise in the world have. Few of the wise in the whole earth have. That's right. Most of them don't have it. And believe me, those people who you all worship, they would feel it. Oh, they'd be so thankful for the opportunity to sit here and listen to what I've been telling you. I'm telling you. Anytime you want to prove it, let me know. I'll go with you to your bosses. And I'll tell him, say, I just want to play the tape I made today, and we're going to sit and listen to it. And we sit and listen to it and look at his face as he listens. You'd be surprised. Well, I'm going to tell you because the Spirit's telling me to tell you. most of my followers are out there. They're not here.
That's right.
That's right. They're out there. And they're watching me and you. That's right. I mean wise ones, very wise ones. The devil's out there too. All right. So now, they call it the mystery of the cross, right? That's what we're talking about, the mystery of the cross. All right, now the cave, take him off and put him in the cave. I told you that spiritualism in the church. It came from asceticism to spiritualism. From spiritualism, then what happened? Rock and roll. That's how the church was destroyed, right? Rock and roll has destroyed Christian society. Yes. As long as the church spirit was dominating, the church spirit was controlling, you didn't have all the wild insanity that you have now in Christian society. That's right. You had the wild fellows, but they were in the minority. But now the whole society gone crazy. People are supposed to be scholars, intellectuals, great educators. They get on television and show the same stupidity that the ignorance show. No more genuine faith in God. No more genuine loyalty to the excellence of man. No. That should tell you something. Rock and roll. This guy, John Travolta, I was watching him being interviewed on TV, and he said, they're talking about disco. He said, he was talking about this fellow who originated the dance and everything, and he said, we're gonna knock their lights out with this. That's what he said on TV. We're going to knock their lights out with this. See, every time there's an upsurge of intellectual curiosity among the masses, they get right on the job. What can we do to stop this? We got to suppress this. We got to knock this down. So during the late 30s, after the Depression, during the late 30s, 38, 39, 40, the blacks start becoming intellectually curious. Is that not right? Intellectually curious. Is that not right? Some of them got so curious they started investigating even communism. So the oppressors wasn't going to stand for that. They wasn't ready to turn the Americans into no socialist camp. So what did they do? They gave you music and fads to knock your senses out. That's what they did. And if you look at the civil rights, the rebellion movement, the turbulent 60s, they called it. If you look at those years, they called it the turbulent 60s, when blacks was out there willing to die, and many died, to get more respect in America. If you look at those years, they represented a great threat to the slavery hold on the black people. They represented a great threat. And the army Elijah Muhammad was feeding it from one side, the black educators from the civil rights movement feeding it from the other side, right? Giving them a shot of courage, a shot of muscles, a shot of manhood, other on the other side giving them a shot of legal know-how, shot of democracy, right? Yeah. So the black man was getting loaded up. He's getting fed up. He's getting fed very well, man, with all of this courage and all these nutrients. Talking about wanting his own land and everything. And doing trade with Peru and Japan. That scared the man to death. He said, hey, come here, girl. Come here, Mary, come here. Bloody Mary, come here. The hell, you're not on your job, Bloody Mary. Okay, now I'm gonna close your church down. We won't depend on you no more, Bloody Mary. Hey, where are my musicians? Bring in the priest. Bring in the priest of music. Hey, not you, priest. Not you, priest of church. Priest of church, go. Not you. We through with you. Go see Bloody Mary. You and Bloody Mary talk and repent for what you've done. You've betrayed me. Is that anything that can get that spirit? Well, you think about it. Report to me Thursday. The musicians come back and say, hey, we got anything? You got anything to satisfy my thirst? Yes, we got it. What? Jazz. We're going to speed the notes up, cut the notes, split the notes, speed them up. There ain't no way they can think when this music is in their ears. Say, so let's hear a piece of it. This is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hey, Jake, listen to this music, Jake. You think that's good for the blacks, eh? Hey, man, good for the blacks. We got it, jazz. What do you call it? What do you call it? Hey, you call it musica, musica. What is musica? You know, sicker, sickle, cut down the field, the harvest. Musica? Oh, we played that one. You cut off the bell. Jazz will cut off the bell. Jazz the bell. But I have black on my black jazz. Little black jazz. White man manipulated you into that. Okay. After that period, then comes closer to the present time of the civil rights movement. It wasn't jazz then. See, jazz preceded the other time I was talking about, before the 60s. But now here come the 60s now. What are we gonna do now? Well, we had jazz. We had rock and roll. We had jazz, we had rock and roll. Well, you have to get something better than this. What about acid rock? Let's give them some acid rock. Say, what is it, acid rock? Acita, man. They're too much into the world. Let's give them some acita. Acid rock to take them out of the world. So, how are you going to take them out of the world with acid rock? David, we're going to give them stars that are fed up with the world, that hate the world. And they're going to drive them out to Woodstock, to the jungle. We'll take them out to the jungle, Woodstock. That's what they call it, Woodstock. Anyway, they're all over out there, after eating cats and stuff, leaving the world. Wearing sneakers and going barefooted and eating snacks and eating cats and stuff, you know. They give them acid rock. So they give them acid rock. A lot of noise. Make it real loud. Make it long. Sound like a horse. Wind. A wolf in labor. Now, that doesn't sound like something being broken up. Sound like something being torn up. Yeah. The furniture's falling. The structure fell. The skyscraper's falling. The utensils and the dishes and everything falling out of the windows and hitting the ground. Bang! Bow! Yeah.
The pipes are bursting. Pow! Pipes are bursting and everything, you see. Destruction of the world. They're destroying the world that they made so they can do it again. They're going to have to destroy it. Let's destroy their mind. Destroy everything we built. Old principles. High values. Everything. Let's tumble this world we've made. Capture their soul and their spirit in the music. And that's what they did. The Bible said, my people are destroyed because of music and song. That's the Bible. All right? Okay. So dear beloved people, you see all the things they use in the war on your ability? All of these things they use in the war on your ability. And you can't see it. You think it's just the time. Oh, this is what's happening, man. This is the end thing. And they're destroying you. They're setting back your progress. They're making it impossible for you to reach your goals, your intellectual goals, your political goals. And you can't see it. Now, if you stay with this, don't you see it's impossible for us not to establish ourselves? If you stay with this, you won't be destroyed. As we progress, certainly when we have the intellectual progress, they see progress. You know, they're going to do the same thing. They'll come out with this stuff. But what effect is it going to have on us? It can't affect us. Not if we believe and we follow. It won't affect us. We ain't going to give ourselves to it. We ain't going to give our life to those kind of influence. We ain't going to come under that. So Allah saves us. And you should be stronger now than ever. Oh, yeah. You should be stronger now than ever. Okay. So, out of the cave now. Where the rock and roll, see, the rock was only spiritual logic that blocks liberation of the intellect, you see. But you see how devilish their minds are? They turned it into rock and roll. You leave the church, say, okay, can't hold them in spiritual logic, let's make it rock and roll. Yeah. And then they say, oh, they want to be holy? They love humanity? Let's exploit this sensitivity in them and give them leaders that don't have the sense to really pursue this kind of aspiration. Let's give them leaders that will turn that thing into a wild man's party. And they get up there and they really think that they're in the spirit. You remember the song, what that song you sang? All the world need is what? Love. Yeah, they sung that. See? So what's that to do? That's to take your mind off of the social issues and just put your mind on love.
You've been listening to Imam Warith Deen Muhammad,
leader of the largest organized Muslim community in North America, the American Muslim Mission. We invite you to join us on Fridays at 1 p.m. for community prayer or Juma prayer, and also today, Sunday at 1 p.m. Our local masjid is located at 1860 Clarion Avenue in Evanston. The Dynamic AMCOP program, a collective buying program to purchase 100,000 commodities plus, is now formed and moving fast. We want you to join us as we begin to save ourselves from the terrible economic pinch. We have a 1 to 5 year program to teach us and our youth to become owners of businesses and industrialists.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
Cannot be taught to black people or to the black African Americans enough. This is what we need to teach more and more to the people of our color. Who are manipulated in somewhat, in a certain degree, that is. They are manipulated by, again, influences, currents of air that just sweep us up into new excitement and make us think that they're supposed to take care of me. They got to take care of me. So I'm going down there and see what they did with my money. And you didn't work at all this week. You didn't hit a lick. You haven't hit a lick. And you healthy about it, too. You healthy. You can do something. You haven't tried to get one sandwich into your mouth this week. And you're running around talking about telling people, oh, I'm going down there and get my money, man. They got to take care of me. And you go out in the street and you see people that lost their arm. Some people lost both their legs. And they're out there selling things that they, craft that they did, handicraft work. Something they did with their one limb or with the hands that they had, limb they had left. People out there selling something that they got donated to them from a factory, some pencils or something. They're out there selling something. Some of them went and got something cheap. And they're out there selling something trying to make a living. And they're really handicapped people. Limb missing, vital limb missing. Some can't see, they're blind. And you healthy-bodied men, young men, that ought to be in the army somewhere, fighting the disbelievers, fighting the oppressors of humanity, you ought to be in the army somewhere with a sergeant boot up your butt, excuse my expression, and you walking around here with your healthy self just as lazy as you can be. Talking about, hey, they have to give me something. They have to take care of me. Where's my money? And haven't hit a lick in the whole week. That's a shame. There's no place for that kind of mind in this religion. Your own selves obligate you. The prophet said that in the judgment, you're going to be questioned. And the members of your own body will have a right against you in the court. The members of your own individual body, your hand, has a right against you in the court of God if you have misused that hand or have neglected to use that hand as God intended for that hand to be used. God gave you two hands to work, and you haven't worked with them. He gave you two feet, two legs, to carry your body, and you did not go to the places you were supposed to go. You did not use the members of your body for the work that God assigned. All right, you have to answer for that. You have a brain. You have speech. Have you used it as God intended for you to use it? You have to answer for that. Have you abused it? Did you use this hand to steal? Did you use this hand to shoot narcotics into the vein of helpless people, misled people? Did you use these legs to go into the prostitute den? Did you use this brain to manipulate the mind of ignorant women and put them on the street to sell their bodies? Your own self obligates you. And in the judgment, Allah, his prophet, says to us, in the judgment, every member of your body will have a right against you if you have neglected or misused it. How clearer can the message get? Can anyone give you a clearer message than that? What Allah has taught us is crystal clear. All we have to do is hear and obey. As Allah tells us in the Quran, the believers, what they say, we hear and we obey. Well, nobody dictating to me, I ain't gonna hear and obey. If I want to, I obey. If I don't, I ain't gonna obey. Well, you are not a believer. We don't think that we have the intelligence to make improvements on the Quran. Did you hear that? Okay, I'm gonna say it again. We don't think we have the sense to make improvements on this Quran. We don't believe that that's man's doing. We believe that that's Allah's doing, who made the sun, the moon, star, who created weather, who created us, matter, and everything. We don't believe that that's his son's doing. We believe that that's his doing. We don't believe he has a son. No son, no daughters, no family. All creatures are his dependents. Is that clear? So I repeat, we don't believe, we who have sense, we who read that book and understand it and have sense, we respect it as the word of God, Allah's word. We know we cannot make improvements on what has been revealed. So our disposition is to hear and obey. It's to H-E-A-R and O-B-E-Y. That's our position. I believe we are continuing in the thought that was proposed or presented to us by the speaker who came before me. I was in the office back there, but I heard him over the speaker. And he said, we need something. We need a knowledge that won't keep changing things for us. We need a knowledge with definite, lasting goals established. Established definite and lasting goals for us. We need a sense of permanence. A sense of permanence. And that's the religion. That's the religion. We have to believe in what? This, and also in Al-Akhir. We believe in this life and also in Al-Akhir, which means the present and the future. We believe in the present life, but we also believe in the future life, Al-Akhir. Al-Awwal, the present, wal-Akhir, and the future life. Therefore, a Muslim is obligated by his principle to believe in the future life. He's obligated to work for the future life. And what does God say? I'm talking to you as an individual. This is not to the Imam. This is left on you. What does God say? God say of the future life of Al-Akhir that it is the great life. It is the big life. It is the abundance. It is the permanent life. The permanent life. It's the permanent life. This what you go after impulsively. It is the fleeting life. It's escaping you all the time. It won't be the same next year as it is today. It's changing. It's escaping you all the time. Listen now, we don't want to rush over this. We should say what God say, and then let's take a second to think on it. Allah says, of this present life, the urge to eat, to have fun, that's the pleasant life. Worrying about the material needs, that's the present life. Now, Allah says of this present life, He said, it is qaleel. Qaleel means small. It's minute. But the al-akhir, the future life, it's the big life. It's the permanent life. It's the lasting life. It is the real life. God says, if you only knew, it is life real. This here is imaginary. This here is elusive. This here deludes us and eludes us. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But that of the future is real. It's permanent. It's lasting. It's great. It's big. It's rich. Now, here is the key. Don't make the mistake of not understanding that it starts right here in this world. Don't make the mistake that you have to die physically and go to the grave before that starts. It starts right here in this world, in this life. And the Muslim is obligated to work for that every day. So Muslim, don't let the present world deceive you and tie up all of your energy, and you don't work for the future world, for the future life. No. I think that's plain enough. All right. Your own self obligates you. I read a little book that a foreign country, Muslim country, prepared for the youngsters, the elementary schools. A very early grade, like first, second, third grade. And it was teaching them to respect themselves, their parents, the home environment, and whatever is trusted to them. For the little girl, her doll, her play doll, whatever furniture she has, the room that her things occupy, their toys, their books, everything. It was teaching them to respect those things and to treat them with respect, to remember that those things have value. They have value if mama sees a little child in danger, mama will put herself in danger if she thinks that's what she has to do to take that little child out of danger. So that should tell that little child that that child has value. That child has great value, especially to mama. But in a civilized society, that child has great value to all civilized people. Yes. The child has to be taught the value of the human person, of the individual, especially the child, to the parent. The great future that's there waiting for that child. And how even society is depending upon the young to grow up mentally, physically, and spiritually to be able to take this burden that we're carrying, because we're getting older. Our time is limited. We ain't gonna be able to carry this long. Our time is limited. Another 10, 20 years, Imam Razi Deen Muhammad may be retired. Right? Yeah. I'm 50 almost now. Time is limited.
Many of us, we know this. We feel that urge on us that the time is limited. We can only carry this for so long. So we have to talk to the young. Let them know how valuable they are. How valuable they are to mama. How valuable they are to civilized society. That's teaching them the autonomy of the individual. That's teaching them their obligation that is upon them as persons or individuals. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, that knowledge that will give us lasting goals, permanent goals, a sense of direction, a sense of permanent direction, not just temporary direction, but permanent direction. That knowledge is in the book of religious people. And for the Muslim, that knowledge is the Quran. The Quran. Briefly, some of the qualities or attributes of this book is that it is pure, pure, P-U-R-E. No inferior thing, no inferior matter, no inferior idea in it. No man's judgment is in it. No human judgment is in it. It's divine judgment. Let me repeat that so somebody can run it. No human judgment is in it. Only Allah, divine judgment. All right? Every word of it, every statement in it, every judgment in it is Allah's. It's divine. Human being could not have achieved that. No human being can achieve it. Impossible for a human being. You hear that? Do I have to repeat it? I think I should. The teachings in this book, the holy book of the Muslim, is impossible for a human being. No human being can give the world that. You might say, well, didn't it come from a human being? Didn't it come from Prophet Muhammad? But Prophet Muhammad didn't say it was from him. He said it's from Allah, the high, most high God, creator of everything. That's what Muhammad said. And we believe Muhammad. Peace be on him. All right. Another of its attributes is that it is a perfect book. It must be perfect if you understand that the book is from God. All of these qualities, we need not discuss them. It's self-explanatory now. Is that not correct? If it's from Allah and you understand what God is, if it's from Him, then all of these qualities are self-explanatory. It's pure, it's perfect, it's complete. In other words, He didn't leave nothing undone. Allah didn't leave something for me to do or for you to do. It's complete, finished. Now, you know, the attitude that the world gives us make us feel very uncomfortable with this. Because the world gives you an attitude to make you distrust everything. The world wants you to distrust everything. Now, I don't want to blame this on certain people in religion, or certain religions, or certain individuals, or the culture, or no. We want to make it clear that this comes mainly from academia. This is mainly the work of people in academia who claim to be our educators. When we send our innocent young teenage daughter, our innocent young teenage son, to these city colleges, state colleges, universities, and many of the private colleges and universities, when we send them there, the hungry
vampire with his fangs, just waiting on them to suck all of their human blood out of their veins and make them a cold, dead monster to go around preying on other innocent people. And the first thing they want to do is take out of them the trust of God. They want to take out of them trust in God. Take out of them love and trust in parents. They don't want them loving and trusting their parents. So the first thing they want to do is knock the family foundation out from under them and knock the faith, the foundation of faith down, and make them a open-minded, gullible nut to accept whatever they say as authority in the intellectual world. Now, isn't that a fact? Can't you see why this place is more important than any other place you can go to? And I'm not worried about the people who went to the churches today. I'm not worried about the people who went to the synagogue today. I'm not worried about the people who even went to the Buddhist temple today. Because at least they have better there than the world of academia has. I'm worried about you because you came here. Obviously, you're not Buddhist. You're not Jew. Or either you're shopping, you're not satisfied. So my concern is for you. All right. So let us continue now. The book is the universal message, is a universal book. Its knowledge is universal in its scope. In other words, it's not knowledge just for white or for black. It's knowledge for all people. Its concern is all people. And its knowledge is not just for America or for Arabia. This knowledge is for the whole world. Universal. Universal. Also, this knowledge is not just for a certain age. This knowledge was not for the age in which it was revealed. This knowledge is for all ages. It never gets old. Oh, that's impossible. It's impossible for you. Don't forget what we said. This came from the one who put the world out here, who created it and established it. The universe, the galaxies of many stars. This is from that one. If we are believers, we are believers. If we are not, the first one to know it is ourselves. We should be told first, hey, you're not a believer, man. Let us come now from the book as a lasting book, a permanent book, a book serving the universal needs of man for all ages. Let us now come to the prophethood. The prophethood is the prophethood of men, human beings with human limitations, like we have, who couldn't stay around in person to tell us about their message. But God promised that their work would not be in vain, and that the righteous would rise up with them and behind them to keep their word in the world. And it's here. Not only the Quran, but also the life of Prophet Muhammad is here for us. So now let us look at the prophethood. Prophet Muhammad was not a renegade. He was not a self-styled man. Prophet Muhammad came in the long line of the prophets as the last of them, as the one entrusted with the job, responsibility of giving the message in its universal concept or universal context, whereas others gave it in different aspects of it, different features of it, different aspects of that method, as the need was created in the history of man. But at some point, there should be a man to give the universal message, because at some point, society grows into its universal dimension. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You have just heard Imam Warith Deen Muhammad, leader of the largest organized Muslim community in North America, the
unto him, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Allah Most High says to us in Quran, that is the believers, that we should always pursue the best in a course of action or thought, that we should always pursue the best. Highly glorified is Allah, the owner of the perfect and sublime name, the attribute. There is no imperfection in him. He is perfect and unlike any other thing. He sustains the heavens and the earth. They all exist by his power, and whatever is derived from it, that is his creation, is because of Allah. We have no power except the power that Allah gives. We have no knowledge except the knowledge that Allah gives. All depends on Allah. We cannot sustain ourselves. We are creatures of his creation. But he exists alone without any sustenance from anything. Praise be to Allah, of whom it is said in the Quran, he does not require of his creatures that they feed him. He feeds all and is not fed. He neither takes sleep or slumber. He needs nothing of his creation. Nothing can come to him except in the position of a servant. He does not accept any equals or associates in the rule of the kingdom. I repeat, according to the Quran, nothing can come to him or approach him except in the state or position of a servant.
Again, Allah Most High says the Quran, nothing approaches him except with his leave or with his permission. That is, no one has an independent approach to Allah. No one on his own can find Allah. We can only find Allah or get nearer to Allah by his permission. Highly praises Allah, Lord, the sustainer of all the world. There is nothing like unto him. It is said in the Quran that he exists uniquely and alone, requiring no mate, never gave birth to children, and never was born. This is Allah, the Lord of the faithful. Praise be to Allah Most High. And it is this Lord who communicated his message to a mortal man, flesh and blood, just like us. Peace and blessings be on him, the Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed. He communicated his message to him and made him leader for all the people, a mercy to all the nations, all the world, a guide to the believers. And he has required of us that we worship none but him and associate nothing with him in the rule of the heavens and earth. He has required of us that we make not lords from among human beings, but accept that all of us are creation. And in his words in the Quran, Allah says, if he desires a son, he takes one from those he created. In other words, he does not birth children. He creates them. Praise be to Allah, Most High. It is important for us to understand the function and role of faith in the forming of friendship. I don't think we take people into our confidence and have them as our close friends until there is some indication that we can trust them. And trust means faith. Faith and trust are the same. And it's foolhardy of a person to take friends into their confidence or people into their confidence as friends before they have proof that there is a justification to trust such persons. A sign of social immaturity in people, a sign of undeveloped life, society in people, is that they accept strangers right away as friends. You do not accept strangers right away as friends. Let them prove their worth to you as a friend. And only after they have proven that they can be trusted as a friend, then you accept them as a friend. It doesn't mean that we should treat people with hostility that we don't know. It means we should treat them with caution if we don't know them. Treat them with respect, courtesy, kindness, as long as they come to us that way. But don't risk your own welfare with people until you establish that they are trustworthy. In other words, you don't even open up yourself. You don't relax your conscience. You don't relax your mind around such people, because they will interject you or inject you with influences that might harm you. Your guard will be down. Only after you know those such persons to be of good character, should you relax your conscience in their midst. Again, I say that the opposite of that, opposite of this, persons who do not practice this, the indication is that they are uncivilized, that they are unmature socially.
Now, you think of the great number of people that you around all the time who rush up into people's faces and relax their conscience and relax themselves, and just met them today. Just met them a minute or so ago. You don't do that. Muslims don't do that. Muslims are to be cautious. We are to accept Muslims as our brethren. But even the Muslim, if we don't know him, we are to reserve our feelings, reserve our judgment until we know him. Because we know the incident in the Sunnah of the Prophet, the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, where men were admiring a certain man for his devotional behavior. And they said of him that he spends his time mostly in prayer and fasting. And the Prophet says, who takes care of him? They said, we. Then the Prophet said, you are better than he. Then there's the incident of the fellow who the people were bragging about. And the Prophet said, do you know him? He said, if you haven't worked with him, then you don't know him. You have to have experience with people. You have to have experience that involves trust. See, when we take up a job together, then we are sharing in the completion or in the work of that job. And workers depend on each other for the outcome of a work. And if you let me down, I will know that. If I let you down, you will know that. Because we all have to do this job, whatever it is. So workers come to know each other because they all share in one assignment or one project. And if one lets the other down, it will be known, it will be seen. If one shirks on the job, it will be seen. If one does a bad work that reflects on the others, it will be seen by the others. Say, hey man, why you do this? This reflects on me. We're all doing this work together. So Prophet Muhammad says, if you haven't experience with the person, then you don't know that person. You have to have experience with the person before you can know the person. Experience that requires trust. And if they fail the trust, they are not reliable. And Prophet Muhammad has made trust so important in this religion. He says, one of the marks of a hypocrite is that he makes promises and fails them. Or you trust him with something and he lets you down. This is one of the marks of the hypocrite.